All right. Hey, I'm putting together a team. A team of men and women who are committed, that want to be involved in something bigger than themselves. Mowing the lawn. Right? Linda was out there last night mowing the lawn. She is awesome. But this is not sustainable in my family. Okay? So, hey, I know, guys, gals, that you might have a day a week, something like you could take care of a certain week and mow the lawn for God. Hallelujah, right? Linda's just worshiping God. She says, hallelujah, mowing the lawn for Jesus. And you can do it too. So sign up in the back. It's awesome. We need to pray. Yeah. Poor Pat. If Pastor Jimmy just knew what was going on, right? Let's pray. Hey, can you stand with me? That'd be awesome. Father God, I thank you for your word, Lord, that is to be preached this morning. Lord, you gave us instruction that we do not neglect the reading and the presentation and the preaching of the word, Lord, in your house. So, Father God, I do it today. Lord, I take what you've given me, what you planted in my heart, in my mind, in my spirit, and I deliver it to your people this morning. That's all I can do. But, Lord, you're powerful. And your words stand supreme. And so, Father God, I pray as the word is preached that it would touch every heart in this place, that it would change their thinking, that they would leave here a different person than when they came. Father, move in their hearts and move in my heart. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So, that theme of grace this morning was all over the worship, and the Lord had a word for someone this morning. And that same grace is really hitting me, and I'm really going to go out of order here, but I want to give you a couple things that the Lord told me about grace to start off with. Grace isn't something that there's a limit to. Grace is without limit. Anything that God does, he does unlimited. Isn't that true? He loves unlimited. His power is unlimited, right? All the attributes that God has. But grace is something, and it's something Pastor Jimmy talked about, the process. Remember, he's talking about sanctification, the process of living, the process of changing and becoming more Christ-like. Well, here's one of the points that I had. Through God's grace, we are set free incrementally, little piece, one day at a time, right? We're set free incrementally one day at a time. It's a process, living under grace. See, here's the problem with me. I read this verse, it stuck with me for life, is that sometimes I use perfection as my judge. Matthew 5:48, Jesus said this. He said, be perfect, therefore, as a heavenly Father is perfect. Tough verse, because I'm not very good at being perfect. Anyone notice? Can I hear an amen? Right? Perfection is something that I always strive for, and I thought, man, if I don't reach perfection, somehow God's going to get, you know, just give up on me. And that's because I took this verse wrong. It says, be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. But that verse is not meant to judge you. It's meant to be your guide. So look to perfection as a guide, not a judge. You understand what I'm saying? Because perfection is not going to be attained until Jesus comes back, gives you a new body, because your body ain't perfect and my body ain't perfect. I don't live a perfect life. There's a lot of messed up things in this world, right? We experience them all the time, but the truth is, perfection is coming. It's coming. We are adopted. We are part of God's body. We're part of God's kingdom. And someday, perfection will come, and God provided the grace to get us there. There's this awesome verse, and I'll stop talking about grace. It's Ephesians 1:5-10. It says this: he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, That word that I want to underline is he predestined us, right? So he chose us, and we responded to him, and we came to God. Like some of you have come to God, maybe it was a long time ago, maybe it was last week, but you already gave up on the whole thing. But I want you to understand this word predestined. You know what that means? It's done. You know what? No longer have to question whether or not you're walking with God. You no longer have to question whether you're going to make it or not. Because God says, I chose you and I predestined you for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ. But get this, in accordance with his pleasure. In other words, he didn't do it and say, oh, you know, I made this commitment to Johnny, but he's been kind of a doofus and, you know, I'm going to take it back. It says, according to his pleasure, he chose you because he loved you and you're the one. And he predestined you. He provided enough to get you to the end so that when perfection comes, that you'll be there with him because he really likes you. God really likes you. If you're not smiling, you're probably not listening, right? God really likes you. All right, that's the part about grace that I had. We have been doing this series. It's called We Believe. Eric, thanks for following me through with that rabbit trail. Thinking right. Okay, can you imagine this scenario? Okay, those of you who tuned me out, tuned me back in, let's imagine. Can we imagine together? Imagine coming to this country, right, with all its rules and laws and regulations and all the things that everyone knows, but imagine that you don't know a single thing, right? Imagine you come to this country and you're really hungry, right? You're like, wow, I'm in this country. This country is awesome. It provides for me everything. And you decide to go to a church for food. Not going to work out so well, is it? I mean, you could be faithful and come to that church every single day, but they don't serve food, right? Maybe you have children and you're like, oh man, they have great schools in America. Where should I bring them? So you bring your kids to Quick Trip and drop them off every day. How's that going to work for you? Not very well, right? Because there are laws, there's rules, there's things that are set up in this country that if you don't follow them, guess what? Your life is going to be a mess. If you decide that you're going to drive, hey, I'm going to drive a car. Hey, here's one. Hop in, start it up, and take off. How's that going to work for you? What happens if you grab the car, but you're on the wrong side of the road? That also is not going to end well, right? There are laws and regulations, but so many of us act like that in our lives that we are in this kingdom. The Word of God describes it this way. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5 says this. It says, for though we live in the world, we not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they're divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of Christ. Oops, against the knowledge of God. And take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. This is what we think. This is what we understand. This is what we know. You have to follow the rules in whatever kingdom or whatever country that you're in. Do you agree? So life is an incredible journey, isn't it? And our lives are a series of choices, aren't they? And we have been given our own free will, because you can make a choice, to navigate this journey. You get to choose what direction, what the things you do, where you go, who you talk to, right, where you work. You choose that. God gave us that free will to choose our course and determine our reality. Our life has its feet firmly planted in two different worlds and two different realities. A physical reality, right? This reality is where we live every day. Can't help it because we have all the senses. We see stuff, we touch stuff, we taste stuff, right? This is the world. This is one reality. But guess what? There's another whole reality. There's another whole world. A whole dimension of spiritual reality. A spiritual kingdom. And you know what? Our lives are caught between these two worlds. As a Christian, our eyes are open to the influences and the powers of both these worlds. Ephesians 6:12, for we do not struggle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, authorities, powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. This is true. This is a reality. You know, there are things out there that are fighting against you that you can't see because you don't have eyes into the other dimension. Isn't that true? If you don't know that that's true, you're in a lot of trouble because you're living in a kingdom and you don't know what the rules are and you can't see. So many people live our spiritual lives in a manner that we act like it's in this physical world, but actually it's over here in the natural world. See, what we think in our minds, and I thought this for years, this quote is from someone that I picked up long ago, Arnie Jacobson, and I did my research and found out he got it from someplace else. So, you know, quotes are awesome things, but we think we're physical beings having a spiritual experience. Isn't it true? I'm physical. I come in church and I have a spiritual experience. But the truth is we are spiritual beings first, having a physical experience. You were made to live in the spiritual, in the eternal world. God made you that way to live forever. That's what you're designed for. But right now, as we live and talk and smell the coffee and have to go to the bathroom, we live in this world, right? It's a limited world that is caught in time, but when we are removed from this world, we'll be spiritual beings again. We are not a physical being having spiritual experiences. We're spiritual beings having physical experiences. That's why a lot of things in our lives we can't really explain. We feel something, right? It's this other dimension, this other kingdom that is conflicting, right, with the reality of our situation, right? Do you ever get a bad feeling sometimes? Maybe I shouldn't do that. You don't really have a reason why, but suddenly you're like, no, I'm not going to do that, right? Well, why? I don't know. I think I got a message from the other spiritual kingdom, right? I love the way this thing squeaks. Sounds like a bird in here. Because of our separation from God, we are all separated from God. Do you understand? It's from birth. It's a fallen state that we have. Satan has claimed dominion over this earth and over your life. He knows that the rules are, and he is subject to the rules. God has a plan to restore what the devil has corrupted, and God's plan and rules for this kingdom is outlined in his word. We must know the rules and ordinance to use to restore God's authority in our lives, right? Here's the point. Satan is the ruler of this world. He claims dominion over everything that is not proclaimed under the authority of Christ. All right, take a breath. Just close your eyes. Let's think about this a minute because this is some dope truth. Sorry I said that word in front. I'm going to say worse just so you know. Satan is the ruler of the power of the air. We'll read Ephesians 2:1-2 here in a second. But he claims dominion over everything that is not proclaimed under the authority of Jesus Christ. Jesus has a kingdom. He has a flag. He has a banner. Jesus is in control. There's no fight against Satan. Jesus' kingdom is coming. It's firmly planted. It is not moving. But where do we live? In the reality of this separate world where Satan, who is a liar and a thief, lies to you and tells you it's his kingdom. And if you don't take the banner, take the authority, and proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord in your life, Satan is going to mess with you. Ephesians 2:1-2 says this. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, that's Satan, the Spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. Did I paint a good enough picture? We're in a war. We're in a war with forces we do not understand. Our feet are firmly planted in two different worlds. One is the real world, the physical world that we have. We think this is it. We think that chasing love and chasing people and doing all the fun things, like this is the end game. This is the world that we think we live in. But when you come to Christ and you understand who God is, you realize there's a whole other kingdom over here. This is an eternal kingdom. That kingdom will rot. That kingdom will fall apart. It'll mean nothing. We live like that is the only world that we live for. But God's eternal kingdom is forever. And it's perfect. And God has dominion and control. And how do you know which kingdom it is? Where is the flag of your life? Where is the flag that says that Jesus Christ is Lord? Because where Jesus Christ is Lord, he has dominion. So, I've come to this point. Right thinking is the foundation of our lives. There's a battle between two worlds. God explains the rules of both of these worlds, right? And how do we navigate it? How do we know which world we're in? How do we know what rules that we use? How do we know what to do? Because we have to think right. You got to know what the rules are. Thinking right is a foundation of your faith that flows from victory, freedom, power, purpose. Our choices are driven by our thinking. Satan has dominion over your life when you don't give authority to Christ. See, what I found is I've done a lot of bad thinking and have a lot of experience in this area, so I feel qualified to talk to you about it just a little bit, all right? One of the things I found about thinking is uninformed choices have bad results. Did you ever notice that? You ever make an uninformed choice? Me and Jordan, we have conversations about sports sometimes, and I'll admit, my conversations can be a little uninformed, right? So we're talking about the NBA and who is the greatest of all time. Well, I have a very passionate opinion about this. Michael Jordan, of course, is the greatest of all time because he's the one that I grew up with, right? He's the one that I watched. He overcame things, and I think he's the best that ever played. Well, Jordan doesn't have the same opinion that I do. He thinks that some guy called LeBron James or something, I don't know, I can't even say his name. He thinks he's the best, right? So we have this conversation, and I can't think how stupid is Jordan that he actually thinks LeBron James is like the best, right? He's a complete idiot. I don't even know where he's coming from. So I go to Jordan, I'm like, Jordan. Wow, two Jordans there. Huh, double the trouble. So I go to my friend Jordan and say, Michael Jordan is the best of all times. Well, you know what happened? That was an uninformed choice. Because he started throwing stats at me and numbers and radio waves, right? He's telling me all the things that he's done. And I was unprepared to defend my position. And I felt like a fool up there, right? Have you ever done that? Said, no, this is the way it is. And then when you actually get informed on the choice, you're like, oh, man, that was a bad choice. Now I look stupid in front of all my friends. Right? Uninformed choices make you look like a fool, and they cause you to make a choice that will have negative consequences. Some of you have made uninformed choices in your life. You forgot to go to the Holy Spirit and ask for direction. Just made choices based on what you thought was the right thing to do. Right? I live in this world. I make my choices based on this thing. Right? So I made a choice, and come to find out it wasn't God's will for my life. And then all of a sudden you're in a relationship you can't get out of, and you're stuck because you didn't follow the rules of this other kingdom. Are you following me? Uninformed choices have bad results. Here's another bad thinking that I tend to do. Well, here's what it says. Hosea 4:6 says this, my people are destroyed because of lack of knowledge. See, ignorance of the law or unawareness of the law cannot be pleaded to escape liability. In other words, just because you don't know something doesn't mean that you didn't break the law. right? Typical case, going 45 miles an hour down the road. There's no one on the road. Making good time, right? I'm a driver. I love it. Cops, behind me. I'm like, what the heck? I have taillight out. What's going on? Pulls me over. Sir, do you know why I pulled you over? No, I have no clue. Do you realize how fast you were going? Yeah, I was going 45 miles an hour. Sir, do you realize it's the speed limit is 25 miles an hour? No, I didn't know that. And then, of course, the policeman says, well, sir, I realize you didn't know, but so since you didn't know, we'll just set you free. Now you know for next time. That happened to anybody? No, what happens? Did you get off the hook? Nice. There is grace. I wish I would have had a verbal warning. Mine was a $175 warning not to do it again. Right? It didn't work out. Hey, another thing happened to me. I remember when I first moved to Green Bay, I parked out on the street. It didn't say no parking. You know where I'm going, don't you? Right? Doesn't say no parking. I think I can park there 24/7, 7 days a week. So I go there and park. Next day, come out, a little paper on my windshield. What the heck? A little flyer? Somebody wants me to get saved? What? Pull the flyer off? No. I forget what it was, $15, you know. For what? Because I was parking when I shouldn't have been parking. Well, it got me mad because I'm 19 and I know everything. I told the man, whoever the man was, this isn't right. It didn't say no parking. It's unfair. It's not the way it's supposed to be. So I go down there and I talk. I'm like, it's not posted. It didn't even say. And the little clerk behind the door says, well, it's in all the newspapers. All your neighbors know. There are no other cars parked out on the road. You should have known. And she's like, it doesn't matter because you have to pay the ticket anyway. Unfair. Right? But guess what? Just because you don't know the law doesn't mean that you're not responsible to it. There are many laws in life as a Christian living in this world and this world that you need to follow, right? But if you ignore the laws of the Spirit, if you ignore what God's authority and what we should be doing and try to live in this world without following those, mess. It's not good. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, who correctly handles the word of truth. See, if we make decisions without the knowledge of God's word, it's going to have devastating consequences. All right. I'm not very good at acronyms. I found it's not a spiritual gift that I have. So I'm going to warn you in advance. Some of you might be a little offended. My wife is sweating bullets right now. The next point I have is thinking right releases you from the satanic influences or chains. Hope I have that as a slide. Thinking right releases you from satanic influences or chains. I grew up in a house. I told you I got saved when I was 12, right? My dad got radically saved. He talked to the Lord, gave his life to the Lord. Well, he became an exorcist. So I grew up the son of an exorcist. I think it was a unique experience. In many ways, I was exposed to things that nobody should be exposed to. If you've ever been around deliverance ministries, especially 20 years ago or even now, it can get kind of weird, right? I saw people speaking in demonic languages. I saw them constricting like snakes. I saw them tormented, yelling, cursing, rage-filled, violence, cussing. Lord, you should have been there. No, you shouldn't have. It was horrible. People like, you know, in Exorcist where the head spins around? Almost. Not 360, but almost, man. It was the worst thing. And not only that, I looked into the eyes of these demonic spirits. depression, anxiety, suicide. How do I know what they were? Because I found out I live in this world. And sometimes you just know what they are. And I'll tell you something else. In your life and in your heart, you know the demons that are bothering you. And you've looked them in the eyes. You know that they're there, and you know that they're chasing you. Growing up, it was, at the time, it was very exciting, right? It's like, oh, look at all this cool stuff. God is doing great things and setting people free. But as I look back at it, it was 24/7, man. When I came home, I didn't know what I was coming home to. I mean, there could be some girl cussing, speaking in Latin, fighting with my dad. I mean, I've had wrestling matches, right? Blood, sweat, screaming. I always knew that God loved me, so I don't want to make anything negative on my dad here. My dad loved me. Him and I, we kind of learned at the same time. We kind of grew up at the same time. Some of you have parents that are the same way. You're growing up with your parents because your parents are kind of making a lot of mistakes, right? It's okay. Well, I grew up with my dad. Well, my teenage self wanted nothing to do with this sort of life. I didn't want to have anything to do with it. I couldn't bring friends over. You know, friends like, hey, what did you do last night? Well, I was wrestling with it. No, you just can't do that, right? I mean, this is an odd sort of life. I never knew what was going to happen when I came home. And I prayed for many years that I would not receive the same calling that my dad did. Because I just didn't want to have a part of it. But you know what? Something changed through the years. Through the years, my dad's experience and also direction of the Holy Spirit, we realized that physically fighting demons was exhausting and taxing on our lives, and it made absolute chaos in the world around us. But we learned we didn't have to do deliverance in that manner. If you see something happening, how many of you have seen some strange demonic things in your life? Raise your hand. If you're physically fighting a demon, you don't have to do that. Because wherever Jesus Christ, his banner flies, wherever he is proclaimed as Lord, he is won. There's no fight. Jesus doesn't fight anymore. See, what I learned is that you don't have to do deliverance in that matter. Demons will intentionally draw attention to themselves to distract you and prevent you from using the transforming power of the Word of God. Many times when demons manifest, and I'll put it this way, I'll try to make it applicable for you. Do you ever have a trigger? You ever have something that just sets you off? You think it's for no reason, right? Okay, here, let me give you an example. I'm in the office, right? There's this other person in the office that works with me that maybe has lied or talked behind my back. I hate that. Don't you hate that? And so I'm feeling a little agitated at this person, right? But I don't let it out because I'm perfect and I'm a good Christian. I just love them, bless God, right? And so, you know, days turn into weeks, and guess what? In my heart, I'm still harboring this bitterness. I can't stand this person. They're driving me nuts, right? But I don't admit it because I'm in la-la land, right? I'm faking it, right? I don't want to deal with reality because if I deal with the way I feel, I might get mad, and that's not perfect, right? So the next thing you know, I'm missing a pen on my desk. No big deal, right? This person over here had the pen, and it would be no problem because I like them. My boss took my pen, it would be no big deal because of my boss. But guess where I find that pen? On the person that I'm holding bitterness on their desk. Well, all of a sudden, I'm upset. I walk over, what'd you do? Take my pen? Nobody gave you the right to touch my pen. That's my pen. Why don't you get your own pen? You're always leaving stuff all over the place. You triggered. And you're like, where did that come from? Yeah, it's just a pen. But in the middle of that rant, man, you're feeling it, right? You know where that's from? Unforgiveness and bitterness. It just festers and builds up and causes all these negative things, right? It's like a big pimple. There it is on your face. For some reason, you can't see it, right? And all of a sudden, something happens, and you pop the pimple, right? You're excited. You're triggered, right? How many of you have ever experienced anything like that? Not the zit, but the trigger. Good, there's four of us. We're going to talk about it later. I promise I won't bring acne into it. It'll be okay. Okay, so we have that situation. And you know what? Satan will act out so it doesn't get confronted. Many times, things in your life will act out the blob so they won't be confronted by the Lord. So you don't take his banner and say, I proclaim Jesus Christ Lord over this bitterness, over this unforgiveness. Because when he does that, the fight's over, the trigger's gone, and Satan's chains are binding you are gone. Right? So knowing the word before confronting the demonic releases their stronghold. It's true. What we found is we spend a lot of time, if someone's dealing with a demon or we think maybe that they, let's just say they need deliverance, what we'll do is we'll build them up. See, knowing the word builds your faith and transforms your thinking. If you can change your thinking and you can proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord in that area of your life, guess what? Satan no longer has a stronghold. He loses. Right? So when you're acting up, you're really close to a breakthrough. That should make you dance. No? Okay. Knowing the word before confronting the demonic releases their stronghold. It transforms your thinking. See why thinking is so important? Knowing the rules is so important? See, Satan holds on to the lies that you believe. He holds on to those lies, right? When it comes to unforgiveness, the lie in there is like you can't forgive them because if you forgive them, then they're off the hook. Do you ever feel that way? You ever have that thought? Oh, I can't forgive them. If I forgive them, then they're off the hook and they're free. I want to punish them by holding on to this bitterness. Makes sense in our head. In this side of the world, it makes sense. But when you look at the spiritual side, you realize that unforgiveness and bitterness, if you hold on to it, it's actually poisoning you, not the other person. All right, we're all on the same sheet of paper. Satan loses his authority and grip in your life whenever the authority of Christ is proclaimed in your life. Satan and the world oppress you. They fight you. This world, it's not just Satan. There's not one enemy. This whole system, this whole world that we live in is intended to shut you down so that you can't fulfill your purpose. Satan can only have dominion where Christ is not proclaimed. Satan only has power in your life where you allow it because God gave you free will. Spiritual warfare, get this, is a bloody, violent war that can only be won by the spilling of blood. Sometimes there is a fight in spiritual warfare. But the good news is, you don't have to spill blood because that blood does not have to be yours. Wait for it. Because Jesus spilled his blood. There does not have to be a physical battle because Jesus shed his blood on the cross and he has ultimate and supreme victory. The only battle is in our thinking, not in the actual doing or releasing of power, because once we proclaim Jesus, his kingdom comes in that area of our life. Whew. Okay, so here's the acronym. I'm just going to read through them. There's a deliverance process that I think all of you should use. I told you I'm not very good at this. So here's what you do. Here's what you do when you're in a, you know, if, because some of you today, you know you have bitterness and you know you have things in your life that you want to get rid of, right? And so today I'm going to give you this wonderful acronym to get the crap out of your life. All right? This is what you do. First off, you confess your sin. Yep, I did it. That was me. That was not smart. Repent, Lord. I don't want to do that again. That was really stupid. Right? 3, ask for forgiveness. Lord, forgive me by the power of the blood of Jesus. I ask you to forgive me for that sin. And then the last thing, and you cannot forget this one, proclaim Christ's authority. Forgiveness is not enough until the authority is switched. Switch the authority, plant the flag, put it in there and say, and in Jesus' name I proclaim Jesus' authority over this unforgiveness, this bitterness, this sin in my life. I proclaim him king. And get it out, right? This is what we need to do. It's simple, but I want you to do it. Take it home. Make it happen in your life. See, Satan will distract and deceive you to prevent the whole process. And you know why he does that? So he can maintain control in your life. I don't know about you. I can't stand being a puppet. You like being a puppet? I can't stand the idea of someone else controlling my life. Drives me crazy. Right? That's probably because I had brothers and sisters and they told me what to do. Right? You got to do this. Mom left me in charge. Right? If you ever have brothers or sisters, man, you can't stand someone telling you what you got to do. It's kind of in our nature, right? I like to do what I want to do, when I want to do it, and how I want to do it, right? I can't stand it. Well, you know what? I want in you this spiritual gift, this spiritual power of rebellion against the satanic lies that are in your life. I want to give that to you. I want you to receive that. I don't want Satan running my life. He ran my life for many years. It didn't end well. I want to make Jesus my Lord and King and move on. Many of you are facing addictions, facing things in your life that I can't even imagine. You're in situations that seem impossible, and you don't know how you're going to get out of it. Well, guess what? If you go through this process, confess your sin, repent, make a change, ask Jesus to forgive you, right? And proclaim Jesus Christ as King, you will have the victory. And I'm going to tell you, some of you are going to do it, and you're going to go, it didn't work. Here's the great news. Keep putting the manure out. Right? If it doesn't work the first time and you're in the same situation again, try it again. I guarantee you, when you do this process enough times, who do you think is going to win, Satan or Jesus Christ? You keep at it. You don't give up. Many times when a demon is manifesting, it's because it wants to prevent you from confessing, repenting, and asking for forgiveness and proclaiming Christ. He is manifesting. You are triggered to prevent you from submitting that part of your life over to Jesus Christ for him to have dominion. 1 John 4, 2 and 3 says this, by this you know that the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit, this is where I jumped ahead. I must not have that on a slide. Let's see. That does not confess Jesus is from God. This is a spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and is now in this world. Okay, why did I bring that verse up? Because I felt very strongly in my spirit I needed to say this. There's a Christian chat room that I used to run when I was on staff at Q90 FM. It was for at-risk kids, kids who are suicidal, maybe addictions, depression, anxiety cutting. And so in this chat room, we talk with kids all over the world. There's this kid. We never really knew their name unless they could. If they decided that they were going to try to commit suicide or knew somebody that was, we would gather the correct information, contact the right people. And we had to do that quite a few different times. But for the most part, we don't know who they are. When I'm chatting to them, I just know them by whatever their handle is. And this guy was from New Netherlands, and his name was World Slayer. Seems like a godly name, you know. World Slayer. And he was not a Christian. And so he would come in every night and we would chat about stuff. And of course, being a, you know, son of an exorcist, I knew a lot about demons and a lot about crazy things. And he's like, man, there's weird stuff going on in my house. It's like there's stuff moving. I hear screams. I'm hearing voices. Like, I can't sleep. I woke up and there was something choking me, right? There's just something weird. You ever wake up and you can't move? Man, that's not good. There's a physical, you know, there's a reason for it, and it has to do with the chemicals in your brain, and so whatever. But many times I've experienced it. I was just completely tormented. I couldn't move, Mary. It was horrible. Like, I'm in the middle of this dream, and I think what was happening is I was driving a semi, and I kept going left and right, you know, to try to stay in the road, but my steering wheel wouldn't work. That's not a good situation to be in. And then to top it off, my brakes didn't work. So here I am in my dream. I'm like trying to stay in the road and fighting, and I'm laying in bed and I can't move. Huh. That was just a horrible situation. If you're dealing with that, proclaim Jesus Christ in your life, and he will deliver you from it. He will. And anyway, World Slayer. So World Slayer came in, and he's like, all this stuff is going on. I woke up, and I felt like something was choking me. So I'm like, World Slayer, here's the deal. What we need to do is we need to make Jesus, call on the name of Jesus, and so that that doesn't happen to you. He's like, all right. So the way we pray was a chat room, so we actually had to chat. So I'm like, all right, here's what I want you to say. So I put him through the prayer, and he gave his life to Jesus. So part of that is, I'm like, I don't know why I said this. I said, look in the mirror and say that Jesus Christ is now my Lord. And all of a sudden, after every time I'd tell him to do something, he'd say, done, got it, all good. And he didn't respond for a couple minutes. I'm like, dude, you okay? And a couple minutes later, he's like, I can't do it. I'm like, what do you mean? I can't get the name of Jesus out of my mouth. It's like I start to choke. And this is directly correlated. This is the acid test. Some of you today are like, I know I'm possessed. I just know it. I made all those bad choices. I just know. I know I'm possessed. Well, here's the indicator. If you can look at yourself in the mirror and say, Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. Jesus Christ came, right? He lived here. He died for my sins, and he rose from the dead. If you can say that, believe me, you're not possessed. Possession is I've only seen possession a few times. And possession is, you have no control. I mean, the person literally has no control. Just like World Slayer, he couldn't say the name of Jesus because he was chained by demonic force. Okay? So that's a litmus test. I just felt like I should share that. Honestly, that's about all that I have. I mean, I had more, but I'm not going to do it. Will you guys stand up with me? Can you put some music on back there, Eric? I think you can put up the last slide. Thinking right is so important to how we live our lives. We are in two different worlds, but we must know what the rules are. And guess who laid the rules down? Nobody just made them up. You don't have to run into walls to figure out what the rules are. The Word of God provides it. We must think right. Thinking right takes away Satan's authority and dominion in your life. Thinking right moves you from being an orphan to being adopted into God's family. Thinking right is a foundation for your salvation and deliverance. I want to be very clear. For some of you, and I don't know who it is, you have feet in both worlds, and you want to live in the kingdom of God, but you got the other foot in, and you're waiting for a moment. You're waiting for a good reason. You're waiting for God to do something, to call out, to bring you into God's kingdom. You're waiting for that moment. Or maybe you've done it before and you're not walking with God right now. And maybe you realize it's time, man. I need to make a change. I need to change my thinking. I need to start living by a godly rule and godly commands. So today I want to pray for you. I want you to know that you don't need someone to come and have deliverance on you, because all authority in heaven and earth has been given to you. Therefore, go and preach the gospel. Preach it first and foremost to yourself. Proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord of your life. Let's bow our heads. I want to speak to you right now if you want to make a move to the Lord, if you want to give your life to Jesus, maybe for the first time or maybe for the fifth. If you want to make that change from this world's system into the kingdom of God, then while everyone's head is bowed and eyes are closed, I want you to raise your hand. Raise it high. Thank you. Thank you. If you have something in your life that you know that you need to give over to God, that you need to use that acronym that you were taught today, but it's just hanging on to you, and it's a chain that's around your life, and I want to pray for you. I want you to raise your hand right now. All right, you can put your hands down. Father God, you are good, and your mercies endure forever. Lord, I thank you that we live under grace and not under judgment because we aren't good enough. Father, I pray that these strongholds that are in their lives, that they're broken. The authority that they have in unforgiveness and addictions and powers that control their lives, that power doesn't exist where Jesus Christ is proclaimed. So, Father God, right now, we all together, Lord, as one body, we pursue you, and we give you charge over our lives. We give you charge over the areas that we've been holding back, maybe that we didn't understand how to release. Lord, we make you king of those areas of our life. Father God, I pray right now, Lord, for a couple different areas. One, I know that someone hasn't been sleeping and they've been tormented in their sleep. And Jesus wants you to know that he'll set you free right now. There's someone else, and maybe more than one, you're struggling with finances. You're struggling with honoring God in giving. And I want you to give that to the Lord. I want you to make him the king of that area of your life, so that you can live in blessing. Because when you don't give him authority and control in your finances, Satan will mess it up. So, Father God, right now, those who haven't made that step of faith, who want to walk, Lord, in financial freedom, Lord, I pray for them today. Father God, you are good. Lord, I thank you that your word is proclaimed. I thank you that you are the power behind it. Lord, I ask you to walk with us this week. Lord, we are your people. Father, I pronounce a blessing on everyone this week, Lord, wherever they go. This gospel was not meant to be held in, to be hidden. This gospel is meant to be preached. Like Dana talked about, platform. God provides a platform for everybody. Lord, I pray that every person right now will realize their platform and will move in it. That it won't be said of this church that they have great pastors, but Lord, it'll be said of this church that they have a great and mighty king, and they're all ambassadors. They all think they're in ministry. Lord, I just pray that that would be the case. Lord, send that going anointing in their lives. Lord, we commit the rest of this day to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thanks for coming. Be blessed. Have a great day. Come watch us play softball. We're going to win, right, Jesse?